Welcome back, Grassroots Radio Colorado. This is Ken and Jason. We have sitting in studio with us Tony Sanchez. He is a candidate for Senate District 22. Tony, before we go back to that story that we were talking about during the last segment, which was Boulder woman disturbed by police, policy to enter unsecured residences, how do people get involved with your campaign?
They can get involved by either going to tonyforcolorado.com or the Facebook page, Tony for Colorado. Tony for Colorado for State Senate. And like the page, get the word out, pass it along, do whatever you can do, because right now is when I really need to get the word out.
Yeah, and what I really like is that you've gotten into this race. You're not afraid to declare, which is a real good thing right now. Hint, hint, some people. And you're really going after it, and so that's a good thing. But Jason, during the last segment, you were reading an article from the Daily Camera,
which is the Boulder Daily paper of camera. Record.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet it to our Facebook pages right now. So,
and I'm talking about this lady, Chrissy Smiley, who went out for a walk, a 40-minute walk with her dogs. She came back, and in her, not kitchen, not on her door, but in her dining room, was a card from a police officer. Well, she left her sliding glass door open, which is the back door. You have to go, as we mentioned, you have to go through a locked gate, or not locked, but a closed gate, upstairs, and that way, that's how you'd have to get in.
Now, I have a question before we go on with this. Do we know, this guy said that he was going to follow up on a police visit earlier. Do we know what that was
I've
about?
I've got it here. Boulder Police spokeswoman Lori Ogden says the officer was visiting Smiley's home to follow up on another officer's attempt to serve her a summons.
Oh,
here's the best part. This is only in Boulder. For a dog off-leash violation and a failure to remove animal excrement.
Hey, they will arrest you in Boulder for that. You're looking at hard time
in
prison in Boulder, Colorado for that. Now, you can smoke dope anywhere you want, but by God, your dog defecates in the wrong place. You're going down.
You still don't have a right to enter someone's home. And the fact is, they're making this up. You can go back. Warren versus D.C.
Well,
Supreme Court case. We've talked about this on the air before. The Supreme Court has said flat out, the police do not have any responsibility to stop any crime in progress, to take care of anybody else. Their job is to clean up after the fact.
But we also know that the police don't care about the Fourth Amendment anymore, because we saw this play out very, very well when we had that incident at the here in Aurora with the bank robber that they detained all those cars at the intersection.
I remember that, yeah.
Then we saw what happened in Boston, and all the people were celebrating the police state there. Tony, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this goes back to the Second Amendment as well. It's like you either trust your community or you don't. You trust people or you don't. And I think it's important that we trust the community, as opposed to assume the worst. Not assume the worst. I mean, that's terrible.
Well, let's keep going on with this story. Smiley, who said she did not see the other officer's card, which was left on her front door, did not respond to that officer's request for contact before the second officer made his visit. Really? You have to send two officers for an off-the-leash violation? Oh, give me a break.
Jason, this woman is a hardened criminal. We know this. I mean, she had a dog defecating in somebody's lawn. She had an off-the-leash violation.
This next part scares me.
What too much government is all about. This is a clear example of it, and this is why we need people there who believe in limited government, and the thing is, allow the police officers to do the kind of things they should be doing and not be focusing on a lot of things that maybe they shouldn't.
Here's the next two lines are going to scare you both. Sergeant Jim McPherson said Boulder police have dealt with Smiley on a number of issues and she is usually not cooperative.
So what?
Vendetta?
So what?
Can you say the word vendetta? Okay, you know she's not cooperative. Why the hell would you walk in her house without permission? If you know somebody's not cooperative, how stupid is that?
I'll tell you why. I think I have the answer. To let her know that they could.
Want
to say intimidation, anybody? I will. I'll say it. That was an intimidation technique. They wanted her to walk home, come home after that walk, see that card there, and freak out and go, oh, my God, the police were just in my house. I would like to see the warrant.
Well, here comes.
And I would like to see how they stack this up against the Supreme Court decision you just talked about, Jason, because this is a bunch of crap.
Here's the next line, and this should scare you all. Everybody who lives in Boulder, this should scare you right now. He said that even if Smiley had a closed screen door, the officer might have had a reasonable suspicion that something was amiss that would have spurred him to enter the home.
Really?
Now, my question is, are you talking hypothetically, like somebody screaming inside? Like you walk up to the door and there's all kinds of, you know, the house has been ransacked? Or are you talking about, no, 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 we're the police. We can go in your damn house anytime we please.
Well, one of the things, going back to my campaign, and this will address what we're talking about, is there seems to be a lack of respect for one another, a lack of respect and a lack of civility. And I don't underestimate that when it comes to government, when it comes to the community. I one time talked to an official once, a government in San Francisco, because that's a great example of insanity. And I asked him, what's the biggest problem? And he said, lack of civility, because I have to start passing rules, passing laws and regulations to protect people and to do things. And I said, well, you don't have to. But it was this perceived idea that someone can do something to me.
And getting to that very point, I remember sitting down in the well of the House and watching Representative Fields sit there and talk about her magazine ban. And she would say, I'm not going to allow anyone to have these high-capacity magazines. Really? I got a question for you. Who in the hell does she think she is to tell me what I can and can't have? These police officers that, I'm sorry, I normally am a big supporter of cops and our military.
Me too.
But this just to me looks, you know, obviously they knew her and they had these massive crimes that they had to investigate.
They have a tough job they got to do too, you know.
But this just looks like
this is just odd, because then they say the situation, it's funny because this is their explanation. The situation is more commonly encountered in higher traffic, higher crime areas like University Hill in Boulder, where residents sometimes leave their doors open late at night, raising the suspicions of who? Neighbors. Who then call the police to perform a welfare check. Well, if I see one of my neighbor's doors open, first off, I usually would just go over and knock on the door and call out before I call the police.
I just got a text from one of our listeners, and he is former law enforcement, and I quote, police must be in pursuit of a felon that they believe is a danger to the public in order to search or enter without a warrant. They must assume death or great bodily danger must be imminent to raise to the level of a warrantless search, whether that door is open or not.
There you go.
And this is from former law enforcement.
Well, and we have our good friend Elliot's on the line. Elliot, what you got?
Hey, guys. Okay, none of this is legal advice. It's been a long time since I researched this question. But there, police in certain types of check the welfare cases, it's complicated about whether or not they can or should go into the home. The fact that you guys have indicated on the radio by my non-legal advice opinion, don't rise to that. There was no sort of probable cause that she was a threat to herself or anybody else. There's no facts. There's a special relationship, and that's the key term of art, between this woman and the police department where she was relying on their care.
Well, no, Elliot, hold on. You've got to remember now, we were dealing with a hardened criminal here. She had an off-the-leash warrant. She had a dog defecating in somebody's yard warrant or summons or whatever. Okay, I mean, that already raises that to the level of, okay, the sarcasm is
pretty close. Yeah, you're being sarcastic. But no, these types of situations can arise with police departments. For example, the police department, and there's cases that are out there, where they get a phone call that someone might be suicidal. And then that creates a very complicated analysis for police departments, because if they give facts that, you know, they're going to come in and help, then they might create that sort of special relationship. But from what you're saying here, I'm not seeing it.
Well, and here's they even nail themselves farther in an article. And by the way, I got to credit, this is from the article by Joe Rubino in today's Boulder Daily Camera. They're talking about Sergeant Jim McPherson said the decision to enter an unsecured resident is not made lightly and is based on variables such as if the officer observes mail piled up by a door or sees someone inside who appears to be in physical distress. Well, great. Then if that was what really happened, why don't you just say that was what happened? But they're not.
That's what we're saying.
They're leaving that detail out. So what this officer decided would be a good idea is to walk in. We are guessing, there is no question, but to walk in and intimidate somebody who they don't like.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Intimidation, Jason. Jason, I don't think it's intimidation in this situation. I just think the officer, and this is 30,000 feet, none of this is legal advice, but my sense is the officer just miscalculated on special relationship, miscalculated on whether he should check the welfare in that situation, and the process might have created a Section 1983 violation through violating this woman's Fourth Amendment rights. Well, it's really complicated in both directions, either whether they go in or whether they don't go in, but I'm very skeptical this was an intimidation-type case.
Well, the only reason I'm going to disagree with you, Elliot, and then, again, all we have to go on is this article, but because in the article it does say that these officers had a relationship with her and she had been, quote, uncooperative in the past,
and they had
that
to,
leads you down that path.
The other issue I have is that they had to walk in through the open sliding glass door, through the kitchen, and leave a card on the dining room table. Now, if you left a card on the sliding glass door, if you left it just inside the sliding glass door, that's a little different. I'm sorry. It would piss me off if I walked into my dining room table where I had to walk through a little bit of the house to get to, and there's a card from an officer. It would shock you. There's somebody been in my house.
Well, you know, in San Francisco, when we talk about Californication, they knock on your door to make sure you're recycling in some places. And so this is what we're...
Oh, yeah.
So there's a little bit of that there.
Well, it was all about recycling dog poop.
I'll take... God. All
correctly.
Right.
Thanks, Elliot. We appreciate the opinion. Thank you, Charlie. I like going out on a high note. This is Jason and Ken. We are both in the seats. Almost a one-week attraction today.
Holy cow.
I'm out all next week. Here's your warning. I'm out the whole next week. I got to be in Montana.
Really?
Yeah, I got to be in Montana.
I think he probably told me that, but I just conveniently forget all the time.
And we are here with SD Senate District, Colorado Senate District 22 candidate, Tony Sanchez. Tony, welcome back.
Thanks for having me here today.
And we were talking about this story about the woman Boulder woman disturbed by police policy to enter unsecured residences. And I'm just going to throw you right under the bus, bud. Charlie, I'm throwing you under the bus. Charlie walks in during the break. He says, do you really believe the officer walked in and just tiptoed right through the kitchen and went right to the counter, the kitchen table, and left the card? No, that officer probably went through the entire house.
No, and we are obviously speculating, but we're also speculating.
Sense.
But we're also speculating, and based on the tenor of the article itself, based on the tone they had mentioned in the article, they felt it was important enough to say this, that they had a relationship with this gal and that she had proven to be uncooperative. That says a lot, ladies and gentlemen. That was published in the Daily Camera. I mean, you know, and that tells you something. She was uncooperative. Well, she's just a bad citizen, so we had to do that.
She lets her dog off the leash every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, and defecates
in the yard.
And
she may not have had a bag. Don't get me wrong. I get upset when people's dogs poop in my yard.
Get upset
it doesn't
about
make me happy,
too,
but
I mean, really,
I don't really want the police to fix it. I mean,
Jason, that requires two trips by the cops to her house. Are you serious?
Do you remember when we were a kid? When you were a kid and your parents were mad at you, and or there was something going on, they said, don't make a federal case out of it. We've talked about this. This is making a federal case out of
it. Well, and this is why in my campaign, I put a little bullet up there on my website, tonyforcolorado.com, about stewardship. And this is what I'm talking about there is really neighbor working with neighbors here. And you don't necessarily got to go to the government or to the cops or, you know, this is people getting to know each other, trust, having people get to know. And you can prevent a lot of problems, a lot of crimes, a lot of issues at that level and really empower people with that and get to know the issues, get to know each other.
Well, my next door neighbor is a retired policeman and I've gotten to know him and his wife very, very well. And it's fun because he shares common beliefs with the rest of us. I mean, which are, you know, God, country, you know, freedom. Mm-hmm. And he understands the Constitution and believes in it. But one thing I really like is that he is a retired police officer and the neighborhood just got a lot safer. And I'll leave it at that. You guys know me. You can infer what it is I'm talking about based on that statement. But in it, I sleep like a baby knowing that that guy's next door, and we've got two houses now that, well, I don't know, could wage your own little war. But anyway.
But see, that's why getting to know each other a little bit better saves a lot of problems. And sometimes it's like when you have a work situation, I mean, why go to the big boss? Talk to that coworker, talk to that person, work it out, see what's going on. I would hate it for somebody to go and complain to somebody above me. I mean, and I think that it works that way at the community level as well with a lot of issues.
Tony, my eyes are about to bleed and we're going to have some fun. You're here. Uh-oh. You're from California.
Yeah.
Breitbart.com, story that just popped up.
But I'm for Colorado.
I know you're for Colorado, but having lived out there and it's not that far. Hayward, that's not that far from San Francisco. Across the bridge, right?
Yes, across the bridge, BART, about 50 minutes.
Stowbridge Elementary Principal Charles Hill has a brilliant idea. He's holding a toy gun exchange next Saturday in which students of the Hayward, California school can turn in a toy gun to receive a book and a raffle ticket to win one of four bicycles.
I saw this. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
One of those, I was banging my head against my counter and I was just going, no, this can't be real. What are they?
And maybe he shouldn't make a gun symbol with his hand either. That's another problem.
This is William
exactly
Bigelow.
Right, Tony, but it goes back to the same thing. When you are suspending a kid for putting his index finger out and his thumb up and is curling the other three fingers towards him, making that gun sign, when you're suspending them because they're eating a pastry and it ends up in the shape of a gun, when you're suspending them because they say the word gun, what you are doing is you are attempting to make society petrified of a firearm. That's all it is.
And what you're doing is controlling them. You're controlling the population. That's what
this is. Classic. I'm sorry. You know, a reporter even finds this ridiculous when the next paragraph starts off, really, period. That's it. That's the whole paragraph, really, period. So it's not, he's not saying like us saying, really? No, this is not BS. That's what he's saying here. Hill believes that children who play, the principal, Hill believes that children who play with toy guns may not think real guns are dangerous. Wow, thank you, Mr. Thought Police. Glad to know that you are the one in charge of brainwashing our damn kids. I'm just so upset right now. This is why we have.
Well, but this is part of the indoctrination process. This is part of, you know, teach them young. There have been Democrats that have come out in public over the weekend and they said, we want them from cradle to grave. We want them the moment they're born so we can start teaching them our agenda. That's what Common Core is about. That's what all of this is about.
Right, and we're going to be talking about that later on in this campaign. But you're right. That's where it's going to be coming from.
Well, but that's what they're attempting to do. That's what the sex ed bill was all about. That's what this school reform bill is all about. Well, besides pumping up the pensions.
In my campaign, I talk about principles, priorities, and possibilities. And what we're seeing is without principles, you have a lack of priorities. That's why you're seeing people focusing on these things that have nothing to do with what we really got to deal with. Was there a huge problem in sex education in this? Was that the problem? Isn't the issue people getting education, getting the ABCs, their math skills? But you see, that's a problem sometimes when you start focusing on all these.
Since when is school about learning?
And I got to jump on something. I'm going to get in trouble for the language I'm going to use, but I'm going to use it in the traditional way. One of the reasons we have so many emotionally retarded. And I mean as in they don't grow emotionally to their full potential and mentally retarded. And I don't mean handicapped. I mean they stop. They don't teach them. They don't let them experience the full thing. And then what happens is you get the definition of a low information voter. All I'm going to do is stare at the TV all day, play Xbox all day, have no socially retarded. I mean these are these things. And that's what's happened is you're talking about stewardship and people interacting with their society. Well,
correct.
You don't have to interact with your community. You don't have to know your neighbors if you can go home at night, crack a beer, smoke a joint, watch TV, play Xbox, only connect with people over a headset. You don't have to do that. And I mean by the exact word retarded as in stopped growing. They stop growing socially. They stop growing mentally. They stop growing emotionally. And we have a bunch of people who are, in many ways, handicapped. They can't provide for themselves. They have to have the government to do stuff for them.
Well, but think about the language that they keep wanting us to use. You have to talk to their heart. You have to talk to them in such a fashion. I mean, it's almost like we have to dumb down our argument in order to get to some of these people. I really feel that. You know, and you can't talk to them about facts because they cannot comprehend the facts. They're at home with our money on food stamps, catching up on Flintstones, they have no idea what they've lost.
But see, what the problem is that they don't realize is that depending on the government is much more problematic than depending on yourself and depending on each other and working with your community. It's just a lot more problematic. And so when people start to understand that, they go, well, wait a minute, I have to go through all this rigmarole when I could have just asked a neighbor who could have given me that information or we could have worked it together. It's that's what community is really about, is that when you start to expand your community, you start to get to know other people, you start to realize, hey, there's things that I can do. There's things that I can contribute. Stewardship means that you're not a victim. that you're not a victim and that you have the power to get things done yourself.
Yeah, that
it'd be great if we taught that in schools.
And that's why I put it there, at least to have that statement out there, to have people in Senate District 22 in Jeffcoat to start thinking about this.
This relates directly back to what we talked about last week with my son's field day. They had a bunch of kids out there. They'd have tug of war, and if one team would win, they'd call it a tie. And a bunch of kids started cheering for one of the kids. It definitely wasn't my son. It was one of the other parents who told me this. One of the other kids was doing pretty well, and they were cheering her on. They started chanting her name. And the teacher said, no, you can't do that. That's rude. Rude? That's the whole point. You're encouraging somebody to succeed.
That was the other problem. When I was going to say the two things that made California go wrong, that was the other thing that made it go wrong, which we're starting to see here in Colorado, was that it's just good enough. So why try any better? Why reward achievement? Why reward someone who's working hard, trying hard, trying to do their best they can? Why punish somebody who wants to follow the rules and follow the law? And that's not right. And so you just have to look at athletes to understand how important that is. I mean, do we want just any old person to play basketball? No, we want the best of the best. And when you see somebody sink that slam dunk, that's called freedom, because you put that time into your regimen. You've sacrificed so much. That's what freedom is all about. That's why we watch basketball. That's why we watch the Olympics, because we want to see the best of the best compete. And that undescribable word that we see when we see that is freedom.
You know, that is really good, Tony. You're absolutely right. And it is very unfortunate that our society and our education and that the Marxists on the left have decided that they want to equalize all outcome and make every one of us exactly the same, which is worthless.
And let me steal something off your point. Sure. If you have, like, say you're playing high school football. Mm-hmm. You play the whole season. You've all killed yourselves. You've done really good stuff. And then you have the kid on the team. The kid who's the water boy, who's the kid who can't do stuff. And they do these special events where a kid who's never going to score a touchdown in a game that's over, they give him the ball and let him run. If you don't work your butt off, if you don't have all that sweat and tears and blood and hard work, then those moments don't mean anything. I mean, I watch SportsCenter some mornings. I'm like, dang it, SportsCenter, I would like to get out of the house without crying, okay? When they do these special moments, the make-a-wish moments, and they bring the kids in. I love that. But if you don't have the best, you don't have the great stuff that can happen because
why watch it? Why would you want to watch it?
Well, but and you've got to consider something else as well. When you've got those people that are truly great and truly gifted, they have the discipline that it takes to get to that level. You know what? It lifts everybody around them up.
Right.
Because whether you're a kid watching this on television or you're on that team with that superstar, you all get better as a result. Everybody gets better.
And that's what I want for our government. That's what I want to see at the Capitol. I want people to be doing that same kind of thing. There's no reason why we shouldn't want the best for our society, the best for our communities, and not settle for less.
Give us a website one more time, Tony. How can people reach out to you?
Website is tonyforcolorado.com. You can donate there, or you can like me on Facebook, Tony for Colorado State Senate. Tony Sanchez for Colorado State Senate.
All right, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a very, very busy week. Jason and I will be in all week this week, and so tune in, because I'll tell you what, there is a plethora of things to talk about.
$5 word. As always,
good night, Colorado.